Grace.
I'm Jerry.
I'm Sierra.
We're ladies.
And we tangent.
I thought that was a pad.
So embarrassing. I thought about this the other day when someone asked us how often we wash the blanket, and I was like, never.
We never have.
I still have not ever washed it, so.
We're not really here that often.
It's kind of like whenever your favorite sports team,
you
like wear the same socks and you never wash them. That's how I feel about the blanket.
Yeah, if for the wash, season of the podcast.
My magical thinking is if I wash this blanket,
the podcast is over.
Something's gonna happen. We're gonna mess with the I almost said Mojo Jojo, but that is like
that's a villain on Powerpuff Girls.
It is. So we don't want him coming. Okay, that's why we don't wash the blanket. Definitely afraid of him.
Did you ever see that meme that was like the Powerpuff Girls were just beating the fuck out of Mojo Jojo? His freaking brain was out all the time.
I don't remember the Powerpuff Girls very much.
Really? That was like my favorite show.
Was that on Cartoon Network?
I
was not a Cartoon Network girly.
Yeah, I was. I would just go to my 47, 48, then 52. And it was like Disney, no. Nick, no. Then I'm going to Cartoon Network. That was like my last resort. But I always found good shows on
what channel were your kids TV shows on?
Before
we only went to Netflix and Hulu and streaming services.
God, yeah, isn't that crazy?
Right, that we had. I remember the first time I went Mosby. Don't look.
Mosby.
Mojo Jojo. Don't do that.
You remember when Netflix, you had to, they like
would send you DVDs?
Yeah.
Like the CDs?
Yes.
Yes.
And then you had to go mail them back.
Mm-hmm.
And then they changed it to like a Redbox situation.
What would you do with? If you didn't
you guys
send
remember
it back,
Redbox?
They would just charge
you? They would charge you for the movie. That happened to us multiple times.
In my mind, I'm like, nothing happens, but that's because I wasn't paying for the Netflix at the time. My parents were.
I remember because me and Taylor were terrible, and my mom would be like, do not forget.
I swear to God.
Or maybe
God.
It was my dad, but one of them was like, don't forget, take this back. Mm. And anyways, that's how I got the movie. What was it? The one where they fucking, The Purge.
Oh.
I got the movie The Purge.
You watched the movie The Purge on like
a Netflix DVD.
Ew.
Yeah.
That was a bizarre thing to like get it in your mailbox.
And it was, for us, it was like a sleepover at night. So
when
we would have sleepovers, we would be like, oop, we're going to have a sleepover this Friday. So let's get these. Because you had to go like on
the internet.
Yeah. And then it would come to you. So we had to make sure we got it in time.
Mm-hmm.
And then, we always got the scary movie because.
Yeesh.
I never watched horror movies unless I was with other people. I'm like, some people are like, oh, I watched this horror movie alone. You weirdo. Why?
Yeah, I don't understand that. I guarantee there's tons of people in our audience who do, though.
They're so offended that like I just said that.
I feel like we give off watch horror movie alone vibes.
No.
I
did one, Get Out. And that was so fucking good.
I didn't
just cause
know
I was
that
such
was a
good,
horror movie
Me neither.
Initially.
I was like, oh, this is a good fucking movie. And
I thought it was just like a mind bender, which it is.
Ooh,
but.
Yeah, but it scared the fuck out of me.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
that
one
part where there's just somebody running really fast at you. Dude, there is nothing fucking scarier than just being like minding your business. And then you see someone running fast as fuck directly at you in the dark. Oh, my God.
Doing anything around me in the dark. I'm uncomfortable.
There's nothing scarier than that.
Yeah. I was going to tell you that I remember the first time I went somewhere and I clicked 48 to watch Nick or 47 to watch Disney.
Yeah.
And it was like the news. And I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with your TV? Where are my cartoons?
Different channels, you weirdo. Like when we would go on vacation. Mm-hmm.
Based on
like,
wherever you, even if you went to like Cleveland or something, it was different.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'm like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
What are we doing, people?
Let's put this all on one streaming service and then we'll pay out the ass for five different ones.
Yes.
Great.
Yeah.
Love this.
What's
up, everyone? Hello. Oh, that was a long intro. So fucking sorry.
I know.
I have something to say.
Me too.
Do you want to go first?
Sure.
Okay.
I got my nose pierced last week and you still haven't fucking noticed.
I didn't even notice. You went without me.
I did, and Shane got his ears pierced.
I'm furious. When you sent me him, I looked at Corey and I go, if she's fucking getting her nose pierced without me, I'm going to be pissed. Because I was here the other day and we were talking about it, and then you guys were like, oh, we should go. But not tomorrow. We'll go a different time. And I was like, if they fucking go without me.
Well,
and you did.
I know I did. I went to your house. I spent time with you when I dropped off the outfit. You had no clue.
I know. And then I said to Corey, I was like, well, I didn't see it when she came and dropped the outfit off.
We spent how much time on Marco Polo? You had to watch like 25 videos, and I was like every other one.
I could not see. Yeah, I definitely. Anyway. Look at me. Oh, yeah, it's got a little bling to it.
I can see it still. It looks very nice.
Thanks. I think it's because Carrie, so Corey's brother's girlfriend, just got her nose pierced recently as well. And I didn't notice at all. And I think it's just because I've had mine done for so long. I just assume everyone has one. And so, like, it's more shocking to me when people take theirs out. I'm like, whoa, where'd your nose ring go? Yeah. But, like, when people just, like appear evolution. With one, I'm like, that makes sense, actually. Yes. Yeah. So I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
But also, I'm furious.
I kind of wanted you not to notice until we were on the podcast.
I'm pissed.
How it happened was on last Wednesday, Shane and I went out for soup and a bread bowl. Mm-hmm. And while we were there, he was like, so you want to go get piercings? And I was like, let's do it. Yeah. Let's go. And he goes, no, I've already talked myself out of it. And I go, then you'll watch me get one. And he was like, what? What the fuck? And I'm like, all right, here we go. And let me tell you, I felt like an absolute bitch.
Why?
Okay. Because a bitch as in like wuss, not a bitch as in like mean. So anyway,
in. It's scary. They put a long fucking needle right by your eye, kind of.
But I don't care about needles. Like, I'm not afraid of needles. Like, even if I get IVs, I prefer to watch it happen. Shots, I prefer to watch it happen. It gives me like a weird sense of control. Like, I'm with you.
Yeah.
You're not doing anything I'm not seeing. Okay.
Sure.
So you can't see
when they're doing your nose.
Well, I'm sitting in front of a mirror.
Oh, okay.
So I can see.
Okay.
And so I see her do it, goes in, everything's fine. Shane's looking at me like, oh my God, she's a fucking bad bitch. And I'm like, I am a bad bitch. Because I like barely flinched.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, I start to get hot.
Oh, yeah.
I'm feeling hot. I'm feeling tingly, and I'm like, this is going to pass. I've given birth. You have given birth two times, you son of a bitch. You're fine. And then she's talking to me.
Or you're hearing, whoa, whoa, whoa.
I can't hear fucking shit. And I'm like trying. You were in dance.
Yep.
You know in dance when you spun, they told you to spot, like find somewhere and stare at it. For whatever reason, mine was always like a parrot.
Sure.
And I would spin and I'm like, there's that parrot. Well, I'm there like trying to find a fucking parrot.
Yeah.
Okay. Trying to steer something to spot.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to pass and it doesn't pass. And I swear to God, she's talking to me.
Yep.
And I tell her, I think I'm going to pass out. And that's how it sounded in my own head.
Yep. I have been there so many times.
Yes. And she's like, you're going to pass out? And I'm like,
I think you're going to pass out.
And so I'm trying to play it cool too, because I don't want anyone to be, you know,
freak out.
Yes.
So you're just like, hey, real quick, I don't mean to disturb anybody. I am going to pass out though.
Yes.
You might want to give me a bed.
Well, I was sitting on like a tattoo table kind of thing.
So you could just lay back.
She propped it up and she's like,
put your feet up. I'm gonna go get you a pop. Would you like a Coke? Would you like a squirt? And I'm like, a squirt sounds delightful.
So she went and she got me a squirt.
I think it's amazing that you were able to like keep your, when I get to that point, like it's happening.
Oh, so I was like, I will not be bested by this fucking reaction I'm having.
Yeah.
I'm having?
I'm having a reaction.
I'm having a reaction. I took two sips of the squirt and all of a sudden my hearing flooded back.
Yeah.
And
it probably just dropped your like blood pressure or your blood sugar, one of the something.
And I looked at Shane and I was like, I feel fine. And he goes, your color's back. And
yeah.
I was like, my color was gone. And he goes, oh yeah.
Yeah.
You're pinking back up now. Like, great.
That's so scary. I remember not realizing that I was because I was like, oh, I'm just getting sweaty and hot. That happens every time I get my blood drawn. And then I saw the person and she was like, so tell me about your son. Like, she started getting nervous and I was like, oh, I'm going pale, aren't I? We don't have much time.
We change the colors over here. Mm.
And then all of a sudden, it was like vision started like,
woo-hoo.
Yep. And then the same thing, like kind of a thing, but really, really quiet. And then I was trying to focus on a spot. She was like, look up at the spot. They even have a sticker on the ceiling.
See?
So that if that happens, I was like, I'm going to be honest, I can't fucking see that. My vision's going.
Yeah.
And she was cool. She gave me water immediately. And then she put stuff on the back of my neck and was like blowing on my neck. So it was like.
Sensual.
I know. And I was turned on instantly.
And when that arousal kicks in, I'm back, baby. Well, she came over and she put a wet, like a damp cloth on my head.
That helps.
And Shane's like, maybe it like. Your head injury has something to do with it. I'm like, I didn't even think that I am one. That was exactly.
It looks so good, by the way. I
can't
even fucking see
it. It's healing great.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
But it was exactly a week after I had my head trauma happen. So I'm like, I didn't think about that. Yeah, my body probably wasn't ready for me to stick a needle through it right after I dropped a lawnmower on it. I got a call from the doctor, by the way, like my personal doctor. Mm-hmm. And they were like, hey, we're just calling to check in on you. And I was like, I'm fine. How are you? And she's like, we're good. We're good. How's your head? And I'm like, fine. How's your head? Like, what is this about?
The emergency room let them know?
Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't know they did that.
Yeah. So especially if you tell them at the front, like, who your primary care physician is, they'll, like, give them an update. Like, hey, you might want to just
check totally
back.
Forgot. She's like, you dropped a lawnmower on your head? And I was like, oh, I totally did. I didn't know you knew that. Uh-huh. Yeah. It's fine, actually. She goes, when I read your paper, I did not expect you to tell me you were fine. That sounds terrible. I'm like, I don't know what happened, but like,
I think I'm part Wolverine. I'm healing beautifully.
It's so very quickly. So very quickly. And I did peel off the glue myself. And it was so very satisfying.
You psycho. What's wrong with you?
It's just, I don't know. I needed to feel something again after I felt like I couldn't handle the nose ring. I was like, I will not.
Be best you pass out peeling the glue off. Son of a you're just me now. Welcome to my world.
I didn't want to be here.
Yeah, but here you are.
I know. So what do you have?
So I had an interaction
with
a fan.
Oh, you did?
Well, it wasn't good. No, we'll get, but so I got yelled at on Instagram, but hold on, because it was not really yelling. She was just very passionate. She was very passionate.
Okay.
And so I feel the need now to publicly explain, because she made a comment about, I'm so disappointed that you got an unethically bred dog. Because the dog is a Bernedoodle. Ted is a Bernedoodle, right? And so now I was like, oh my God, like I didn't go to like a shop. I didn't pay thousands. This was a friend of a friend situation. And they had dogs, and it's not even a real Bernedoodle. Like, its mom was a Bernedoodle, and the other, it was her sister's dog, and it was, I think, a poodle. I don't like, but so I was explaining, and we had a very nice, she was very nice then. She was incredible. She was like, I'm so sorry. I was a cunt. Like,
oh my
I think she said twat, actually.
She was same like, thing, right?
I came at you really hot, but she's a groomer. So she was like, this is something I'm very passionate about. So, and you have a very large platform, and I know you're a good dog owner, but there are so many listeners that will see you have a cute, fluffy little dog. So, so I want to make some things super, super clear. First of all.
Yeah.
If you're going to get a dog, adopt or shop responsibly.
Yeah.
So ethical breeders, and it's very difficult sometimes to tell who's so like, paperwork, vaccinations, meet the parents of the dogs. If you can, especially the mother, go in and see where they're living. If they won't let you in to see where the puppies are, if they like bring them outside, it's probably like a puppy mill situation.
Yes.
So don't. And a lot of doodle mixes, like, I have poodle mixes because I know what it entails to have a poodle mix. They are very difficult. High maintenance dogs. Like, not temperament, but like the maintenance on them. And breeders a lot of times won't tell you that. So if you have a breeder, they should be explaining what goes into doodle care. So we're talking 6 to 8 week grooming appointments that are very expensive. Again, I took on this dog because I felt like, one, I have the time. I'm home a lot for a puppy. Two, I know what doodle care. Like, I brush my dogs frequently. I give my dogs baths very frequently. Like, you have to brush that dog's hair daily to get it not matted. And then grooming appointments every 6 to 8 weeks. Like, so it's a bit.
And the matting is not just like a like a cosmetic thing.
Oh my God.
Matting
it
in a dog hurts
them. Yeah.
And so it's like having a horrible knot next to your scalp.
Yes. So she was basically just saying, like, I don't want to see people see you and then go out and get a dog that they don't understand the responsibility of it. So I wanted, and I was like, no, you're 100% right. And I appreciate you for saying that, because that was something I forget sometimes that I have the platform that I have. And so, like, I didn't want to be defensive, but I did want to highlight that because it is something that is important to say.
Yes.
Because it's becoming a problem. A lot of dogs in shelters are poodle mixes because people get them and don't understand what it takes to have them, and they are neglected and their fur is terrible, and it's just like,
I know that there's an appeal to have them because, one, they're so fucking cute.
Oh god, they're
but
cute.
But two, they're hypoallergenic. Mm-hmm. And so, like, people who,
but sometimes they aren't. It's not a for sure thing. Yes. That's the other thing.
And so it's misleading then as well. And then if they do shed, or they do, someone does have a reaction
same
to
with
it,
any
then
kind
it's
of
like,
mini. So they said it's a mini because the mom was smaller. But you can't, it's genetics don't work like that in people or in dogs. So, like, you can't say for sure. So these people selling mini golden doodles, and then these people get dogs that are as big as standard poodles and are like, whoa, 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 I didn't realize it was going to be this big. And so it is a thing that just, like, make sure if you are somebody who saw that post and are like, I want to get a dog, really, really, really research and do your homework before, number one, getting a puppy, any puppy.
Yes.
Because let me tell you something. That's the other thing. He was great. We just went through a week of shitting everywhere but where he was supposed to
shit.
I don't know what happened. But, like, that's the thing. And I
Teddy,
know that,
no.
I know. He's getting better. Today, he didn't have one accident in the house.
Good.
I'm like, cool. We just went through, like, a five-day period where I was like, it was, like, reverse.
Yeah.
But he is a puppy.
Right.
And it was raining.
Yes.
And he's high maintenance as fuck. He would not get off the deck. He was like, excuse me.
That was
that
birdie.
Is wet grass. I won't shit there. I'm going to shit in the house.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's something I didn't realize, you know, there's a name for it. It's like puppy blues that people get, which is like after you get over the, like, oh, it's a puppy.
Yes.
Then you realize what the fuck is happening to your life. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of going through that. But again, I am home all the time. I am, like, someone that's able to put in that care to take them to the vet, to take them to the groomers, to brush them every night. So, like, just keep that in mind. Yes, they're super cute, but your shit will get fucked up.
It's like a baby.
It is a
they're
baby.
They're adorable,
it's a
but
baby.
They don't sleep.
No.
And they poop a lot.
They need to go out still every 2 hours. And when it was
babies?
Raining.
No, well, my baby will not go out in the rain.
Actually,
she's so fucking stubborn.
My baby has been having to come out because I can't leave her. She's crawling and getting into everything. So now she's on my hip. I have a fucking umbrella, and I'm trying to get this goddamn dog off the deck. I'm like, Teddy, come on. Follow your brothers.
You know what to do.
Just standing in wet grass. I'm like, in my slippers. At fucking, I don't know, 5 a.m. when the baby woke up. Anyway, so I thought that should, I wanted to say that.
Yeah, okay.
But I think I said this on the Patreon, and I did want to say it here. I did realize when I looked at the vaccination records that my dog was born on my birthday.
That's really cool. Makes up for all the poop in the house.
Yeah, it does. It does. I get it. He's a cancer. Yeah. What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
You can't cage that beast. He's a lovely beast.
Yeah. I think I've talked before about how someone came up to me whenever Shane and I were, like, eating outside at a patio and we had Mosby, and they were like, you should be ashamed of yourself for cropping his ears and tail. And I'm like, he was born this way.
Yeah,
I don't know what to tell you.
This is not what we did.
Listen, he's a rescue. I think I paid $50 for him from the Humane Society.
Yeah.
And you think I have the money to do whatever that, like, massive surgery on his tail and ears?
No, I just didn't
do that.
He's a mutt, babe. Like, what are you gonna
do? I'm sorry. Half his litter looks like this. Half of his litter has tails. I don't know what to tell you.
He didn't know what happened.
Yeah, I haven't ever cut his tail hair, and it looks like a goose, and it's so funny. Someone was like, he has the most uncomfortable looking ass hair I've ever seen. I'm like, you keep that to yourself.
You don't tell anybody.
Yeah.
He's self-conscious.
So I think, like, it's important to have those conversations.
And I'm so happy that she was open, because I immediately said under the comment, like, hey, I'm going to message you because I'm open to this conversation, but maybe not here in public. And also, I think she ended up deleting her comment as well. She did apologize. Like, sorry, I came in hot. And I'm like, I'm glad you did.
Yeah.
Because it's something you're passionate about. And I'm happy for people who have passions when it comes to animals.
Yes.
But Yeah, that's
it. Is like
you just it's jarring because you're like, wait, but you don't know my situation.
Yeah,
but I get
it's not like that.
No, it's not.
But yeah,
I did not go out seeking a dog. I'll tell you that right now. Yeah. That was not something that I was looking for.
That was
for.
My fault.
I was not looking.
It was my friend had it posted.
And I'm not going to lie. When me and Corey were discussing, one of the things I said was like, I feel like we, like when I see a dog, any puppy, I'm like, oh, I want to be its mother. But mm-hmm. I feel like a connection to poodle mixes because I know that I can take care of them. And I know so many people either don't know how,
right,
or just don't want to.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh well, I will. Here we go, money, cha-ching, because that bitches are expensive.
So are you though?
I am.
You know this bitch
high
is
dollar
expensive.
Bitches. That's what I collect.
Yeah, hell yeah.
So,
okay.
Now, on to relationships.
Oh,
here we go.
Wait. Time out.
Oh, yeah.
Let's check and see if we have any sponsors.
Before we get into it, one more thing. I will say, it is, like, jarring to get somebody who's just like, hey.
Yeah.
You know what?
Coming in sideways at you.
I'm like, whoa. I guess I'm just not used to that because people never cared about me. So
yeah.
Now it's like, oh, yeah, people care. And they're going to be passionate because I have a platform, which I don't realize sometimes that we do. So, with that being said, what I'd like to say right now is we are not fucking doctors. We're not psychologists.
Yes.
If you saw the like word on the end of this and you're like, I'd like to learn about this from people who know. Hey.
Not us.
No. I'm going to tell you what I read on a website. We're going to discuss it. Okay.
Yes.
So
anything ever that is like, quote unquote, educational on this channel, whatever we are, is more so your friend heard about it
and they're just gonna discuss it
like via a TED talk that her mom sent her and like it's very much telephone where the information is like loosely
I mean,
based
this
in
is
reality
a .org website, so I feel like it's pretty
no I just mean
it's from
like
a psychiast.
If you're getting it from us,
no,
read it.
I'm
like,
gonna read you and if you're like, they plagiarized, babe, yeah, that's I mean, I'm gonna give them credit, but like these are not my theories or like I didn't come up with this on my own. So I just know that people find us on Spotify or YouTube and they'll just see that word and be like, oh, these people know what they're talking about.
Nope.
No.
No, we don't know
Dick
about
shit. You're gonna learn.
Yeah,
but if you're still sticking around, let me tell you about codependent relationship.
We're just trying to make it, you know, relatable. Not necessarily relatable, but I think that like one thing that has always been really important to me with the podcast is taking buzzwords.
Yeah.
And defining them because we did it with gaslighting, we did it with
toxic positivity,
we did it with
trauma bonding.
There's like so many that we could go through, fallacies, like that people bring up that we're like, what the fuck is that?
And I think when you say codependent relationship, you're like, yeah, me too, I fucking love my boo or whatever, but like it's so much deeper than just like having a normal healthy level of attraction. And
well, I think it also is like a quirky thing of like, I need
I'm
my
so
bestie
codependent. Yeah.
But yeah, I do,
it can be very unhealthy.
I do want to understand the unhealthy part of it because I feel like I have experienced it without realizing that I've experienced it and learning so much
in therapy.
I'm going to
tell you right now, there's going to be some things that I say that you're going to be like, oh, damn.
Oh, no, for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've told you guys, I do have a new therapist. I don't know if I said it on the main one. Maybe I just said it on Patreon.
Did.
Her name's Kay. And we are going to be starting EMDR this week, which I'm very nervous about.
Yeah.
But I will maybe share that with you guys if you're interested. Not like obviously what I'm processing, but
let me tell you all my trauma,
just the experience of it, because I don't think that I don't know much about it outside of I know Shane's done it a couple times, but I have learned so many new words that go with family systems.
Yeah,
like enmeshment is a new one that I've learned about. We should do a family systems one.
Ooh, that would
because
be good.
Like I always think of them in a negative way, But there are things that are like too much of a good thing is a bad thing.
Right.
And I feel like this is what this is.
Yeah. So basically, that's kind of what this says right off the bat. It says a codependent relationship occurs when each partner abdicates responsibility for themselves. So generally, there is a partner who is the taker while the other is the caretaker. But these roles can switch depending on the issue. Also, I would just like to say, why are you looking at me like that?
I don't know, because I feel like maybe that we don't have a healthy relationship.
Me and you?
Yes.
I wasn't thinking about that, but potentially.
I don't know. I don't think so. You'll see.
Okay,
maybe.
Okay. Maybe. For example, one partner might be a caretaker financially and a taker emotionally or sexually. I will say, I've tried to be, but I feel like you're just like, no, I like doing it the way that I do it, so
well,
I'm going to keep doing
fucking
it.
Fucking Kay called me out
yeah.
the other day. Because I was telling her about my eye
mm-hmm.
and I was telling her about what had happened and how in moments of chaos, essentially, yeah. I am overly calm and yeah. I am kind of like helping everyone navigate the situation so that we can, you know, move from A to B in a not hard way.
Yeah.
And she's like, so then do you fall apart later or do you never fall apart? And I was like,
oh. I didn't realize those are my two options.
Well, it depends. Sometimes I think I do. Other times I don't know that I ever feel the need to. And she goes, is that because you don't trust anyone around you to be there for you when you fall apart? And I was like, fuck, Kay.
God damn.
Barbara would tell me I was a good girl. What are you doing?
Kay's got it. She's going to tell you how it is.
Kay is, fuck. Barbara took me all as far as she could go. And now she handed me to Kay and I'm in the fucking big leagues now.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Okay, so for example, a partner might be a caretaker financially and a taker emotionally or sexually. I don't know if I said that part.
Yes.
But, they aren't always romantic. There can be codependent friendships. There can be codependent co-worker relationships, boss and worker relationships, family relationships. So,
well, that's what I kind of meant. I know you're going to explain more of it, but I had that reaction initially because, like you said, I don't let you.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know. I don't think it's because I don't trust you.
Yeah.
It's because I don't want you to.
Yeah, but I can. I am
know.
So capable
I
of
know,
it.
I know, but I have always asserted myself as the caretaker
yeah.
for literally everyone around me. And yeah. I haven't learned that, like, hey, babe.
Yeah.
You don't have always to. Wants that.
You don't have to. Yeah, yeah. And you don't have to. Because it's going to make you have like negative feelings towards the taker then, which
I
you,
do I cannot yeah. stand
I know I can't I know I knew it. So it says the relationship might seem like it works for a while until either the caretaker feels angry, hurt, and drained from never getting the love and approval they're seeking, or the taker never feeling filled up enough because they're not allowed to do enough seeks attention elsewhere.
Okay.
This is not me talking.
I'm just
like
reading.
We're accidentally having a therapy session together. I mean, I just listen.
Okay.
Here's the taker symptoms: feeling heavily reliant on others to be content. I don't think I do that one. Not anymore. Feeling needy of others' attention and approval. That's me for sure.
I was gonna say. I think it depends.
Do I have a codependent relationship with our fans?
Well, I think it depends. Like when I don't think that. If we're codependent, that
yeah.
that means that you're codependent with Corey.
Or oh,
like
I know I'm not. I was just going to say that I feel like this is the first relationship I've ever been in where there's not any codependency.
And I think with me and Shane and with you and Corey, because we were not in each other's lives forever, we
yeah.
were able to establish a new role for ourselves, where you and I are in a unique situation where we have had these roles somewhat solidified
for
since we were born,
right?
And
yeah.
like I don't know that they all the time were naturally developed or more so like kind of forced onto us.
Well, yeah, because we had people telling you, Jerry, you can do everything, and it was like, Sierra, sit down, don't do anything.
Just
honestly,
what?
Just don't
watch.
And I
Jerry.
Was like, fine. I guess. I mean I can do it, but like prove it to you later, I guess.
And then it would be like, you know, and not even just you, but other people in my life as well. I was like, oh, they're just more sensitive. Oh, they're just more this or more
yeah.
that. And so it was like, Jerry, you take care of it.
Right.
You handle it. You be the example. You be the one that you be the helper.
Yeah.
And it gave this complex of like, I have a superhero complex, and the other person would have a
just sad life.
Yeah. Like a, I don't know. That,
feeling
like
I can't do anything.
Yes,
right.
They
or
put the
at
bar
all.
On the floor.
Yeah. And then like, I'm like, fine, I'll step over it if you want me to, but nobody's going to give a fuck when I do, because they're just going to be like, hey, someone put that bar on the floor for you, though.
Yeah.
So, like, literally, I'm not even kidding. Even when we started this, people in our lives would go up and be like, thank you for doing this for Sierra.
They still do it.
The fuck?
They still do it.
Like, and that's why I'm like, give me more to do so I can fucking show people, like, I do shit. God damn it.
I know.
Feeling empty and unfulfilled, I think, may feel irritated and angry often. Well, may feel entitled to the other person's time and energy. I don't feel that at all.
No.
If anything, I'm like begging for more of my, like, your time to be my time.
Well, no, I think that it's more so like you don't try to get. Is this still the
taker?
The taker.
Yeah.
You are more so like, hey, I'll fuck
well,
off.
Just
if
back
you need
off.
Me to fuck off.
That's literally because I'm always just like, if someone needs me, they'll ask for me.
Yes. They're going to need to, because
yeah.
I'm not
going to be the one to put, I'm not going to push into
yeah.
somebody's shit.
And not because you don't want to, but because you don't
well,
want to be a bother.
I've had people bite back at that. Yeah. So comparing themselves to others, that doesn't sound like me at all.
I feel like you don't want this to be you.
Well, hold on. Wait till you hear the caretakers.
No, I don't want it to be me either, but I know it is.
Needing to be needed to feel like you matter. Having a hard time receiving. Feeling like a martyr.
Hey, I'll
sacrificing
tell
you. Yourself.
I do like receiving sometimes.
Well, I know. That's why.
in certain places.
Not from me.
No, definitely not from Sierra.
Feeling constantly anxious about meeting others' needs. Perfectionism. Overly busy. Rarely spending time on yourself. That's not just from our relationship, though, I'd like to say. I feel like you have that in other relationships
yeah,
in your life.
In general with that.
Yeah. I don't want to be... It's not just me.
No. It's because I have an unhealthy... I'm codependent with my work, I guess.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know if that's a possibility. Like, is that possible? Or I just have an unhealthy relationship with... work.
Yeah, I don't know.
Fucking today, Shane has been like on a roll cleaning and doing laundry. He's mm-hmm. like, I kind of want to just get caught up on everything. I had a wedding yesterday and he was like, do you feel okay just like chilling with the kids today? And mm-hmm. I was like, what? And he's like, just like hanging out with the kids. And I go, I don't know how to do that. Yeah. I don't know how to do nothing.
Yeah.
So.
But that is doing something.
I know, no. Yeah. Hanging out with the kids is doing something, but like, not also. I never just hang out with the kids,
right?
Like, typically,
like
I'm also
something else,
multitasking in some way,
right?
Or like, it's for just a couple hours, and then I'm gonna get something else done. But like, just I played video games. I played Mario
Ooh,
Kart today.
That's fun.
Yeah. It felt really weird and unnatural.
Yeah.
And I think it heightened my anxiety. And I think that's why I...
Well, we're going to talk about that.
Oh, great. Great. I think that's why I was snappy.
Yeah. So it says codependent relationships are so symbiotic that it can be hard to identify when it's happening. There are no victims here. There are no persecutors here. There are no saviors here. So if you can let go of those concepts, then you're getting to the root cause of what's happening with both parties.
Immediately, I was like, fuck you. I'm the savior.
There aren't no. Luckily, there are some notable signs to watch out for, and many of them involve various forms of self-sacrifice and neglect. So number one is you feel the need to save someone from themselves. In a codependent relationship, a partner often takes on the role of caretaker. Maybe the partner is quick to anger, or they have like a hard time paying bills. So the caretaker will step in, pick up the pieces, try to guide them along the way to make better and more positive decisions and solutions. At first, the behavior is redeemable because you're like, of course, I want to take care of my partner. That's mm-hmm. what being in a relationship is all about. But then it's on the other person to make real and lasting change. So you can only do so much. But in codependent relationships, a lot of time this becomes only a one-sided relationship, with the other partner then becoming dependent on that partner doing everything for them.
Mm-hmm.
There's an excessive sense of responsibility for the other person's behavior and emotions. The partner may even play into it, suggesting then that it's your fault that they drank last night, or it's your fault they got in trouble because you didn't come and pick them up from a bar, or that it's your fault that they're angry because the house is messy kind of a situation, you know.
Right.
Number two, you want to change who they are, the partner. So this is the caregiver wants to change the taker.
Okay.
Right. So no one is perfect, but there's a difference between having a small hang up over the way someone makes their bed versus fundamental differences in characters and beliefs. So like, for example, like potentially someone is a homebody, their partner likes to go out all the time. So you're staying home in the hopes that eventually they'll want to stay home with you.
Or
you go out just to please them, but you don't really want to be the one going out. And so you do these things in the hopes that this small act might have them give up a small part of themselves.
Which then makes it not a genuine action in the first
place. And then both of you are just unhappy.
Right.
So it says, the truth is you can't change other people if they're unwilling to make the change. And I like this. They say, quote, you're two people that each need each other like peanut butter and jelly, except it's a sandwich that neither one of you wants to eat. Mm-hmm. So like,
Yep.
Like, here, I'm giving you this and I'm giving you this and we're compromising, but both of you then are unhappy.
Yeah, I don't want anything to do with that.
Which is, again, why I said I don't feel that with Corey, because we are both very different. I am kind of a homebody and he goes out, and I think he said this in the one, like, what's something that Sierra loves? And he's like, she lets me just go out and do whatever I want. And it's because I, like, fucking love that. Sometimes I love when he goes out. And it's not that I don't love him. I'm still comfortable not needing to be with him all the time.
Yes. And I think for someone who has an unhealthy attachment style, that can be hard for them because it can feel like rejection. It can feel like you're not meeting me.
Born out of feeling isolated, feeling like you're neglected, feeling like you weren't loved or wanted when you were growing up. That's what these codependent relationships are born out of, codependent personality types.
Right. I don't so much, I know in the beginning I was kind of like more so comparing it to us, but I don't really feel any of those. Anything that I've ever wanted to do for you or any of the like savior complex, caregiver things that I associated with you was more so because I was worried about you and your safety.
Yeah.
And, but I had always told myself that like, I never wanted you to feel like you weren't capable. I never wanted you to feel like you couldn't do it on your own, or that like I thought of you like a wounded bird.
Right.
And me and Schneider are wounded birds. I always told myself too, like with the business, and we've had this conversation, that when like when you would have appointments to get a massage or your nails done or your eyelashes done, and I was jealous.
Yeah.
I was like, just because she is scheduling out time for self-care does not mean she's taking time away from me having an opportunity to do self-care.
Exactly.
And so if I'm jealous, it's not because she should be doing, I think she should be doing less. It's because I don't know how to do that for myself.
Yeah. Yeah, so. Absolutely. Good. I was going to say answer, but that's not a good, that's a good point. That's the word I was looking for.
That's a good.
Wow. Leading into the next one. Taking time out for self-care makes you feel selfish.
Yes.
It's hard to tear yourself away, even for a little bit of peace. If you find it's difficult to be motivated to do things you normally love doing when your partner isn't around, this is a sign that you may be codependent on them. Does it feel wrong to be without them? Does it feel off to do things you used to love doing without them or before you met them? Can you spend just a couple hours outside of your comfort zone without relying on their presence for self-care? Feeling excessive guilt for doing anything for yourself is a major characteristic of being codependent.
I would say that when it comes to self-care,
yeah.
And I don't know if it's so much codependence, but if it is born out of attachment styles or just unhealthy learned behaviors, I would say that self-care I associate with selfishness.
Yeah.
Because it was like, if you have time to do self-care, you're not doing enough of other things.
Right.
And I can remember getting done with some kind of a workout and going up to our uncle and saying that I had finished my workout and I was barely even sweating. And he said, then you're not working hard enough. And as a coach, I get it.
Yeah.
Like, I understand where you're coming from. But I also know that that's a motivator.
I know personal trainers and I talk to them and they literally will be like, sweat does not equal a good workout. So, like, don't fucking say that to people.
Well,
it's not a good indicator.
And that's what I'm saying is, like, I internalized things like that to mean if I am not exhausting myself completely, I am not filling my time with service or something that someone else would deem meaningful.
Yeah.
Then I am wasting time.
Right.
And being careless and frivolous and...
Well, and it took me a long time to, like, get okay with making the appointments. I literally felt like, oh, my God, you bougie bitch. Like, you could be... Same thing. You could be working. People are going to look at you like she has all this time and she's fucking going out and getting her nails done. But I had to, like, think in my head, I have to fucking see myself on camera.
Yes.
I have to know that a lot of my... job now is being present on the internet. I want to look good because it makes me feel good. And I know that me not getting back down in the dumps is literally good for the business because I cannot let myself get to that point. And neglecting self-care like that is how it's like a slippery slope for me. That's literally how it starts because I'll look at myself and be like, oh, I hate my nails. They're disgusting. Oh my God. Blah, blah. Or oh, my hair, blah, whatever. Like I can't help it. It's just the things that happen inside my head.
Well, so, because like, of things that you had heard
said. Yeah. So, and I just feel like it makes me look professional. So I feel professional. And a lot of times I feel like I'm fucking playing pretend here. So like, that's a good way for me to be like, no, I'm supposed to be blah, blah, whatever. Okay. It's difficult to explain how you're feeling about your relationship. So when asked about how things are going with your relationship, is it hard for you to define what's positive or negative? Do you have mixed feelings about? Well, it says, well, all of it. this might be because you're so focused on the other person in your relationship that you're not spending a lot of time processing your own feelings and emotions about the relationship. So in doing this, you might be avoiding your own problems or feelings, and then you're replacing them with the high that comes from satisfying your partner.
Yes.
But that's a double-edged sword.
It's self-sacrificing.
For sure. Hey, guys, we know that we're discussing a pretty heavy topic right now, but we are going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors.
And when I started going to counseling and realized that, like, your feelings are not my responsibility.
Yes. Yep.
And I will not make them my responsibility. Yeah. I will prioritize myself and my needs. And if that makes you uncomfortable, that is not something that I'm going to deal with. Like, sorry, that's for you to work through.
Right.
I'll support you. I'm not going to be a fucking dick about it.
Right, right.
But I'm also not going to compromise my feelings because it's tough for you.
Where there is a point at the end where they're talking about, how, like, you can get out of it. And one of the things is setting boundaries. And it says that that's the fucking hardest part. Because, like, having to stick to those, that person's going to kind of buck back a little bit. And it's going to, you're going to clash. Because the relationship that you have, like, created is now suddenly completely different.
And it feels neglectful.
Yes. And if we get rid of this, then that means that you don't love me as much as you... say you did, or as much as I thought you did.
And because it's all changed.
Yes.
And something that has been on my mind a lot lately is like a pendulum.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of times people live in an extreme for so long until they realize I can't live here anymore.
Yeah. So I'm
and that they want to get as far away from it as possible.
Yeah.
But the other end of it as well is
going to be extreme.
Just as unhealthy.
Yeah.
And so everything comes to a balance essentially in the middle. But when you swing to the other side and you start to go back to where you were, that can feel really scary.
Oh, definitely.
It can feel like a backslide.
Because you're like, shit.
I'm getting closer to what I didn't want to be in the first place. But as long as you can find that middle ground, that healthy balance.
Well, that's why I say, and I don't mean to, like, for people that are listening, I'm not trying to be like, my relationship's great, because there's issues in every.
Nothing's ever perfect.
But I will say that was what was scary when I was with Corey, because I was like, hey, why don't you love me so much that you want to be with me 24/7? And so when people have said things like, not people, one person, things,
good for you,
about like him, like it seeming toxic or him seeming toxic, I'm like, but it's you don't understand how actually healthy it is that we are not so obsessed with making the other one. Like, I love that he prioritizes him and his relationships with his friends and his family. And he loves that I prioritize my self-care and my, those are things that we know. And like him with his running and things. Does it sometimes suck that he's not doing something for me instead
yeah.
of, but like, I know in the long run that makes our relationship better because he is fully taking care of himself. Mm-hmm. So I don't have to step in.
Right.
And try to, but because I am a fixer, so I would do that.
Yeah.
I think he was a fixer too, which is why he started dating me. But like, we might have been a little codependent in the beginning. And I think it was, I'm just going to toot my own horn for a second, but it was a testament that I was like going to therapy actively. And I knew kind of what codependent relationships looked like without having the name on them. I just thought it was an abusive relationship. So I'm like, I've been there, done that. That's why I couldn't leave for so long. So my therapist helped me a lot with just being okay, being me and being mm-hmm. by myself and knowing that like, hey, if he leaves, I'm okay.
Right.
I will be fine. Will it suck? Yeah. I said this to him like yesterday because we were talking about, we had like a really nice.
Bye, bitch.
We were having like a really nice, lovey relationship. And he said something about getting married. And I was like, I just love that. Like, I don't need you. I don't need you. And he was like, what the fuck? And I was like, no, but I want you. Mm-hmm. That it feels so good to me that I know I'm doing this because I don't need you.
Right.
I want to be with you.
Yeah.
And that's a lovely place to get.
But it can feel scary. To someone who feels like being needed
is the worth.
Yeah.
Definitely. Definitely. Mm-hmm. That's how it was with me. That's why I keep getting fucking animals and babies. I have to feel needed by something.
Something. Good God.
You feel anxious when you don't hear from them. So do you stress out whether like someone has, like if they've read your red receipts, but then they don't message you back? Or do you check your phone every couple of minutes to see if they've reached out to you? Are you panicking or thinking up worst case scenarios during large gaps of time when you're not together and they're not reaching out to you? Then that's probably because you've become so reliant on your partner for satisfaction and like, well,
validation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have trouble being alone. So, again, this was something that like I remember feeling in the beginning of our relationship where I was like, I fucking hate it when you go to work. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. It's like I feel emptiness and I feel like lonely and I don't know what to do with myself. And like,
but that's because you were so used to being suffocated.
Yes. And so then over time, I was like, oh, my God, air feels lovely. I love this. And now I'm like today he was watching is fucking Browns openings. So like football. So like he loves football.
Yeah.
Great. I love it. I actually went with him for a little bit, but then I was like, I'm going to dip out because this is not my scene all the time.
Yeah.
And like, good for you. I'm glad it's yours. I had a good time, but like, then I want to go home. I need to be by myself.
Right.
And
you going home didn't mean that you didn't love him.
Yeah. And he was like, do you want me to come with you? And I was like, honestly, you don't even have to come home. Like, I love you.
Yeah.
Fucking, this is your area.
Go for it.
You stay here. You have a fucking great time. I'm going to go home because that's where I feel like I need to be right now. I want to be comfortable. I want to, like, I want to take my bra off. I want to watch Love Island.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Oh, my gosh. That reminds me of the horrible dating show that I watched. Dated and related.
Related.
Did you watch it?
No, I wanted to, but I was going to wait to see if it was a bust or no.
I wanted to bring it up because we were doing the episode on codependency.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know anything about the show?
Dated and Related.
Yes.
No.
Okay. So essentially, siblings go into a house to try to find a love match.
Oh.
And the goal is like to have your sibling wingman for you.
Ugh.
It is just as gross as it sounds. Honestly, I don't even want you to watch the show. I want you to watch Katya and Trixie watch the show.
Okay,
because
I will.
There's a video of it.
Yes!
Honestly, I'm going to make you watch it before you leave because I'd like to watch you watch it.
Deal.
Okay.
Deal.
Anyway, the relationships of people, like, maybe it's because I have an unhealthy relationship with my biological family.
Yeah.
But like, I could not imagine having siblings that close.
No,
not even a little bit.
No.
And like, they were sitting there and watching each other make out. And they were like, you should go with my brother, my sisters. That, like, I don't know, man. I don't know.
Icky.
Yeah.
No. I would not.
Yeah, no.
Ugh.
There was really no point in it. I just wanted to talk about the show.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you did. Mm-hmm. Okay, another thing is you routinely cancel plans to spend time with your partner. I think that's pretty self-explanatory.
I think someone tried to say that I was codependent. They didn't use those words, but they tried to insinuate that with me and my high school boyfriend.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But it was just because I was
afraid of him.
Afraid of him. Right. It wasn't because I...
Well, I felt a codependence, like, with my abuser. I truly did feel like I needed him around. But I think it started that way, that I was afraid to not be around him.
Yep.
But then it was like, I didn't know how to not be around him, kind of a situation. And it was like, that was...
Well, I did eventually only find worth in, like, what he thought of
me. It was so difficult then to leave because, I mean, obviously the trauma bonding had to do with it. But, like, I think there was, like, serious codependency. He made me feel like I was fixing him. And I felt like, okay, well...
What's he going to do without me?
Yeah. I need to save him. Mm-hmm. Crazy. Your space doesn't feel like it's yours. So this says maybe you've redecorated or redesigned some of your spaces to better fit your partner's tastes, or maybe your inner sanctum at home feels like a sanctuary and more of an unfamiliar space when your partner isn't there. So if you're feeling overly anxious or waves of sadness rush in when you return home alone or your partner leaves that space, then you may need to find small ways to reclaim your environment by organizing things how you like and finding some comfort in them.
Right.
You feel like maybe you ask for too much. Are you hesitant to speak up for what you need because you're afraid of the outcome? Have you been told that you're too demanding, even when you make the smallest request? Are your attempts at fixing problems shut down before they even begin?
I'm trying so hard not to dissociate right now.
I'm so sorry.
Like, no, you're fine. I just...
Keep it here.
There's a fine line for me between... sharing and also, like, making sure that I keep my... personal things personal and, and sharing in a way that I feel like people can, you know, relate to their own lives.
Yeah.
And so when you get to parts where I'm like, I can relate, but I can't share, my brain goes on a vacation.
Yeah. No.
And that was another thing I wanted to talk about. I mentioned to Kay, one of the reasons that we're going to be doing the EMDR therapy is because I have of the large gaps in my memory.
Yeah.
I told her I don't remember much. And so it's hard to tell if the reason I don't remember is because I was in active trauma.
Right.
Or if because my brain just got in the habit of not remembering.
Right.
So do I not remember middle school because I was in active trauma? Or do I not remember middle school because... my active trauma was when I was younger and my brain just already like, in that.
Yeah. I know how to fix this kind of a.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like cruise control.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
That's
it
exactly
had already.
What I was looking for, but I fucking could not get
it. I kept saying autopilot. It was like my brain has already developed this coping cycle. And so now I'm just not retaining things.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know. I don't know what is what, mm-hmm. but I think that. My brain is trying to protect me right now, and I am dissociating. Anyway, so sorry, go ahead.
No, you're okay. We're almost done with this part of it. You feel like maybe you ask for too much. Did I already say that? Probably, yes. Okay, their behavior escalates when you try to set healthy boundaries. So that was something that it says, if you've attempted to communicate and resolve some of these issues by setting up healthy boundaries and your parents' behavior escalates or grows worse, in spite of your attempts, this is a surefire sign that their needs take precedent over yours. Again, like
so
we
this
were
is
saying,
talking about parents?
This is just talking about any codependent relationship.
Oh,
I say parents?
Yeah. That sentence said parents.
Partners.
Okay, even if it
your
is
partner's
parents.
Behavior. Any person that you're in a
I thought about
relationship
this when I just
with.
Ran up to pee.
Yeah.
Whenever one person starts to change.
Yeah.
If everyone in that circle is not also on that same path.
Yep.
The relationship is most likely not going to continue.
Right.
It is going to be very difficult to continue that. And I think, like we said earlier, it's very scary for people, but you have to also change.
Yeah. And again, this is not saying that the person who is the person escalating or their behavior growing worse is like a bad person. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that at all. So I hope that people don't think that. But the whole thing is, it is scary. It can feel like, oh, especially if you're somebody who is like a routine based person or somebody who is used to things being a certain way.
Yep.
And then everything gets flip flopped and you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
It feels like you're failing.
Yes.
Or like that relationship is doomed.
Right.
And it doesn't, you know.
Oftentimes I think that the person who is reacting in that moment is essentially who's at the leaderboard. Leaderboard? What's that board? And, the movie with the emotions,
yes.
Inside Out.
I think it is the leaderboard.
It not the leaderboard.
Control board.
Control board.
Sure.
The person at the control board is the inner child. That's what I think.
Okay.
I think that in that moment when the change is happening and the boundary is being set and they're like, "What the fuck?" I think
it's the
inner child mm-hmm. is saying, "This is dangerous."
Yeah.
When Whoa. Change like this happened, when people withdrew in this way, this meant something negative. Either I was neglected.
Yeah.
I experienced some kind of emotional trauma. I felt like my needs weren't being met. So I think that the inner child is saying, like, this is not okay.
Right.
And I don't know if this would help anyone else, but it for me, when I was going through this and I was making these changes, or I was noticing people around me making these changes and I was getting triggered by it.
Yeah.
I physically started talking to myself.
Yeah.
Maybe not out loud all the time, but oftentimes I would say, we're safe now.
Yes. This is not.
That's not what love means.
Yeah.
This does not mean that they don't want to be our friend
yeah.
or that they don't care about us or that they won't support us. How we were shown love before was not how love is supposed to be shown.
Yep.
And it's okay now to not be afraid of this.
Definitely. Because that behavior could lead to feelings of resentment or regret by the other person, by the caretaker. And this just creates a perpetual pattern of mm-hmm. distress for both people where
right.
you're clashing and you're both constantly unhappy, even though you're essentially both doing things for other people all the time. And mm-hmm. you think like, well, I'm serving you in a way. This should be enough. Why aren't we both happy?
Right.
It says, this is doctor that says this, setting the boundaries.
This is doctor.
This is a doctor. I was going to say
hello,
the name.
I am doctor, doctor. Ask no more questions.
His name is Dr. Derrick. Like, but I was confused because it
Derrick?
Did look like Derrick.
Shepherd?
Oh, I almost spoiled something. I mean,
it's a great
it's only
day to
like
save lives.
A 10-year spoiler, but
yeah.
Setting the boundaries is likely to be painful for both people. Sometimes a person will escalate the issue in an effort to pull you back in. But again, this is like not something most of the times that's manipulative or it is manipulative, but it doesn't have to be malicious.
But not intentional.
Yeah.
Necessarily.
I think sometimes when people think manipulation, you think the person is being malicious, is being intentional about it.
Right.
And a lot of times manipulation happens not even like the person isn't even meaning to do it.
It's the same as ignorance.
Yes.
When if I were to call someone ignorant, they would be like, are you calling me fucking stupid? A lot of times ignorance isn't a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes ignorance is a choice. Same thing with manipulation.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it just happens because of how they learned to survive certain situations.
Yeah. So can a codependent relationship be saved? That's the whole question here. It says, it's important to remember that there are healthy ways you can work with your partner to bring balance back into your relationship. But ultimately, this takes effort from all parties. So if you're not sure where to begin, here are some pointers. Get a trusted outside perspective. Again, counseling.
You're going to be like, get a life,
get
you
a
losers.
Life. God damn it. No, but get a trusted outside perspective. So a lot of times when you're in the thick of it, it's easy to get caught up in your emotions and feel lost. And it says here to turn to family or friends. And totally, if you don't have access to anything else, that's a good place. But a lot of times I think it can be kind of a
I think that can be tough because
it might be a bit skewed because
yes.
some person, you know, somebody's going to take a side probably.
Yes.
But what you can ask them is if they've noticed anything about changes in your behavior or signs that the dynamic
right.
of your relationship might be a little off. And I think it is important, too, to like be honest and open with them because we've talked about this multiple times before that we've both done in multiple relationships,
yeah.
which is kind of like hiding the bad parts,
oh,
only
yeah.
showing the good parts and overly showing the good parts.
But that's also a learned thing.
Yeah, definitely.
You know what I mean?
Definitely.
Because it didn't start with my romantic partners.
Right, exactly.
So that was another thing I talked to Kay about. I was like, I don't believe that I have DID.
Yeah.
But I relate a lot to DID because I do feel that in certain situations I was able to front in a way where I was able to put on a mask and I was able to hide what was really happening because I couldn't. I couldn't let anyone know what was going on because my life would have been worse.
Exactly.
And no one would have believed me anyway.
Yep.
And so even to this day, I find it hard not to protect
the person who. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. But
and I also think, sorry, I also think that with family and friends, I don't want to forget this. I don't know if this is true or not. Remember, we don't know Dick. But I feel like if you have the tendency to be codependent.
Yeah.
You're probably codependent with more than one person.
Oh, I'm sure.
You probably are surrounded by people that you are codependent with, in which case I don't know that they're going to have the best advice.
Yeah.
Which is what you were kind of saying too with them being skewed.
So yeah, if you can get like an outsider perspective as like in a therapist or anything like that, that I think would be really helpful. Two, you can check in with yourself and reexamine your value system. So your core values are a system of beliefs that drive everything that you do, right? So if you value honesty, that's going to be a quality characteristic that you're going to emphasize in pretty much every aspect of your life, right? That's like something that you're really passionate about. So make a list of what your core values are and ask yourself, where have I made sacrifices in these? What am I taking responsibility for here? And how am I feeling about myself? How am I feeling about my career, my family, my friends?
Which I think can be
other people.
A tough one
for
the caretaker who already feels like thinking about themselves in that way
is a selfish thing.
Selfish.
Yeah.
I've had to get over that. That's the whole pendulum thing. Yeah. I spent too much time over here, swung the other way, and that's not good either.
Yeah. Create a timeline of your relationship. So oftentimes people who are codependent will exhibit patterns of behavior across different relationships over time. So that's what we were talking about. So if you journal about your past relationships and you can revisit some of the things that worked there or didn't work, then you can try to determine if you are repeating those patterns. And then by identifying those patterns, you can isolate the things that you can work on and how they've made you feel in the past. And that knowledge can then help you better navigate your present and your future relationships.
Dope.
Last one, set those healthy boundaries. So we have identified that that's the most difficult, right? But it doesn't make it any less important,
right?
So a codependent relationship can become healthier if both people are willing to do the work. If both people are relatively healthy, they might be able to reshuffle the dynamic mutually, and that means that both parties have to be open to communicating and listening to one another while also taking responsibility for their own actions. Sometimes this requires both parties to be intentional about what they're doing and checking in with themselves while honoring the other person's boundaries as well. Here's some signs that you should leave.
Leave?
If it's like beyond repair. So if your relationship ever becomes dangerous, abusive, physical, or verbal, emotional, abusive, then you need to seek immediate help and find a way to end that relationship. Gaslighting, any signs of like a toxic, manipulative, abusive relationship, then you should leave. Otherwise, it's up to you as the person to decide how much you're willing to put up with before you walk away. Are you willing to put years and years and years into trying to see if it'll work? Because of it's going to take time, but it shouldn't take forever, you know? So like if you're finding yourself constantly working and going backwards, like you said, pendulum swinging to both extremes, then potentially it might be time to throw in the towel.
Because it's also exhausting.
It's for both people.
Yes.
For both people, because the other person knows how to be okay on their own.
And I think it's important to say that it is not sustainable. Like it's not normal. There's no such thing as quote unquote normal, but
eventually one person's gonna break.
I think that in media oftentimes, like in TV shows and in movies, that is kind of everything is heightened, and so it looks like
it's romanticized.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And it's not. It's not sustainable at all.
It's
because guess what?
Hard.
Movies are like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Your life is
you're not
significantly
seeing that
longer.
Person doing that fucking back and forth for 40 years. Yes. You know what I mean? It can that yeah. That is a huge thing because I think we are rom-coms and all of that. We literally books everything. We grow up thinking like that's the idea of love.
Mm-hmm.
Is to like just pour yourself
being
into the
with
other
him
person.
Felt like breathing.
Yeah.
It's blah like- blah blah. And it seems like oh my god, that feeling feels magical. Yeah. And it's like until it doesn't.
Yeah. That's why I thought me and Corey were not going to work. I remember sitting there in the early days and being like, this is not going to fucking work for me. Like he does not care about me at all. The way I care about him. And it was like, no, he's just healthy about it.
Yeah.
He cared about me in a healthy level, whereas I was obsessed and codependent. Yep. Still and like needed to work on that.
So
that's good. The self-awareness is like one of the first steps.
Yes,
because a lot of times people will do shit. It's a conditioned behavior, a learned behavior. Yes. So a lot of times people are doing these things, not even realize what they're doing is unhealthy or wrong in any way.
Right.
So I think stepping back and being able to say like, hey, maybe that's not great, is probably the best step that you can take initially.
Right. Especially because we've been taught forever that just giving all of yourself to everyone all the time is a noble thing, is a wonderful thing. And like even in the church, in organized religion, it is presented that way.
And especially to your husband and your wife.
Yes.
Give all of yourselves to them.
Submit yourself, serve them.
and there.
So, I am having a really tough time staying present. I'll tell you that.
Okay.
And I am also already thinking that I'd made no sense.
No, I think you did good. I hope that I made sense. I think I tried my hardest. I went from like three different websites, which we will put probably in the show notes.
I'll put it in the description.
So I didn't plagiarize, you fuckers.
Has anyone ever said that to you?
No.
Oh. Never.
Yeah. I just like to be mean to them sometimes. I like to keep you on your toes.
Mean to who?
These illiterate motherfuckers.
Yeah, these illiterate motherfuckers.
No, I love you so much.
Yeah.
I just don't want you to think I love you too much.
I think, you know, you know what I think it is?
What?
Is because I noticed myself dissociating so much. I don't necessarily remember a lot of what I said. And now I'm like second guessing all of it.
Hey, welcome to every episode we do.
I know.
People will be like, Sierra, that was so funny what you said. And this is the answer you were looking for. And I'm like, what the fuck was the question?
I don't
remember that at all. And I recorded 4 days ago.
Yeah.
So that is alarming.
Yep. Well, let us know if you guys can relate to any of this or if any of it made sense.
I hope it helps. And if you're spiraling right now and thinking like, oh, fuck, that's my relationship with anybody, just know it's not a lost cause. And so it doesn't have to be something that's terrible and like, oh, this is an end all, because it doesn't have to be.
Right.
You just got to figure out how to work. Maybe work on yourself, baby. Yeah. You'll be okay.
Do you guys like Sierra's sweatshirt? If you're a listener, she's wearing the last piece of exclusive merch for our Goose Pimps.
If you're a Goose Pimp for a year, is
that correct? I think so.
For a year, you get this piece of, it's a Goose Pimp.
It is.
Goose Pimp hoodie, right? Yep. Is that what it is?
Yep. Yeah.
It's very comfy.
I love it. And I love that the chain that the goose is wearing says Ladies and Tangents.
That's my favorite part.
Hell yeah. I did draw that.
I love it.
I traced it, but I did draw it.
You did
that
great.
That is my handiwork. So if you guys want that, you can go to patreon.com/ladiesanddandes.
Become an official Goose Pimp.
You don't have to, but you can.
You don't have to. We're not pressuring you.
You can win this sweater. Hey.
Is it winning if you pay for it?
Hey. Ask Tom Brady. Okay. Well, thank you guys so much for hanging out. For legal reasons, that was a joke. We love you so much. And we will see you next week.
All right.
We're out.
Goodbye.